flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you are off work. And luckily for you, old Dirty and the blonde tip bomber, although it is sliding out. And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, had the latest. And the latest is 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And also, again, and I'm putting a note in, and Tyler reminded me to, I want to make sure before we get out of here, because turd list is a big thing every Thursday. We've got the bronze one, we got the silver, and we have not been able to get to the gold one.
Never had a week where we didn't give this golden turd away.
And I'm making a note, and we have got to, I promise, we've got to get to it. Now, we will not be able to do it here at 5 o'clock fire, but we do have two more segments after this. Hopefully we can get to that because I'm interested, as I think many others are, in hearing who the gold is. All right, some news with the Astros, and this is kind of the most recent, right? And Tyler, let me know if you have anything else coming out of this. The Chicago Cubs been reported. Bob Nightingale won. I've seen others reported that the Cubs are on the verge of acquiring closer, last year's setup man, Ryan Pressly from the Astros. Now, something that Tyler said earlier, which is, I think, a really big key in this, is Ryan Pressly has a no-trade clause in his contract. So he can veto trades that he doesn't want to have happen. So that could be maybe a holdup, because we've been hearing about this for about an hour now. That could be a holdup. Who knows? But I guess if this does occur, your feelings about Ryan Pressly, his time with the Astros, and potentially him part ways.
Yeah, look, I mean, personally, I like the guy. Personally, he was one of my favorite players as the Astros are out there kicking everybody's ass and taking everybody's names. But I do understand that everybody's time comes up, and when you got Abreu, right there seemingly waiting in the wings and maybe not so patiently last year with taking a lot of the run and performing better, something's got to give. And so, I especially if it frees up a little bit of money for the Astros to do something either with Bregman or to do something with another outfielder, I mean, hell yeah. I mean, every player, every contract, I think kind of runs its course, man. And I would say that his has ran its course, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad if he were still here.
If he said deal with it, I'm gonna put that no trade up.
I'd rather him not. But I mean, they signed the contract, so hell, he's damn sure got the right to do it. But
now, if they are able to get a move done, clearly, right, Clint, this is a situation where the Astros have laid their cards out on the table. They want to move on from Ryan Pressly.
Right? Seems like it.
Like they want to, just like with Bregman, and we started seeing all these other players that they, that had been kind of reported they were connected to, was a sign of maybe that the Bregman era is over. It feels like now, obviously, this as public as this is, they want to move on. And you could see they could save some money with his contract. I think he was making 15 a year. They could save some money and go use that. Maybe there's an outfield piece out there that they could go spend money on or something. So you could see how that could be helpful for them if they were able to pull that off.
Absolutely. There's no question about it, man. It's this is one that's obviously different than the others. I mean, it's one thing if Kyle Tucker, they say, man, look, we're never gonna pay you what you want and what you deserve, yeah, man. So we'll go ahead and move you. Let's just part ways amicably, to steal the Texans one of the Texans terms they used earlier. This one seems to be, it's probably gonna end a little different. I don't think he's real happy with not being the actual closer.
I feel like there was an issue right then and there.
Yeah,
and now you're trying to get.
Yeah, and then he struggles with that coming in. He struggles a little bit with that situation. And now all of a sudden you're ready to move him before his contract's up and he's got that no trade. This seems to be one that's going to be a little bit different than Springer, Correa, the even Bregman if he ends up going somewhere else, the Tucker deal. This seems like it could be a little bit more contentious.
Yeah. So that is the latest there. Again, Tyler will jump in if this thing, becomes official.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, some Texans news. And when we had Jonathan Alexander on earlier, he broke this news. Greg Grissom. The former president, team president of the Texans, they have parted ways. He is no longer going to be in that role with the Texans. And we're big fans of Greg. Greg came on the show multiple times, and we've had good off-air conversations with Greg. Always treated us well and a good dude. And obviously, we hope he's on his feet and good. The one thing for me about Greg, we don't know what is going on around this or what this means or who's going to fill the role. But the one thing for me is Greg came in, Clint, at a time where the Texans were probably in the toughest spot that they've ever been in from a business perspective. Yep. One of the things that I remember you guys always telling me forever, they sold out
since day one
season tickets. You had to be on a list and all this and that. And he came in during all of the Deshaun stuff, the three coaches in 3 years thing, and he had to be the face of it a lot of times, Clint. So that's the memory I have of him handling those tough moments.
Yeah, you talking about a dude. I think your true character's exposed in times of adversity. I think Greg Grissom, I think his light shined pretty bright in those moments, man. I mean, like you said, COVID, the Deshaun situation, JJ bouncing. I can't remember if JJ bounced under his watch or not, but I think they did. He did. All the coaches, all the losing, all the dysfunction, and Greg seemed to hold it together. If you're out there and you're wondering, hey, man, what the hell is the president of a NFL franchise? What does he do? Well, here's a description fresh off of the Texans, HoustonTexans.com. He oversees the management and direction of business operations, including marketing and communications, digital and social media, community relations, ticket sales and membership services, event management and operations, business analytics, IT, and corporate partnerships. The tickets and the corporate partnerships had to be strained significantly through all of his time. Until here recently. So you talk about a dude that led an organization through.
Yeah.
I know there's some teams out there like the Browns who just can't get right. There's some
Daniel Snyder stuff.
Yeah, with some just bad owners and they just can't get right. But when you talk about an organization that typically has rode pretty high, especially in the business department, and the roughest 2 to 3 year stretch that you could possibly have, this dude, Greg Grissom, old Ginger Nation, baby, he navigated. Because you think about it now, if you think about it with the Texans, he played a big part in at least overseeing the brand change, the uniform change, all the graphics that you see, the H-Town stuff that you see. And now, look, I'm not saying he came up with the idea, but he oversaw all of that. And there were some tremendous moves made that really landed really well with the Texans fan base. So hate to see Greg Grissom go, man. Hopefully it's because he wanted to move on and do something a little bit different somewhere else.
All right. Hey, we'll see and be on the lookout for who takes over that role moving forward for the Texans. But they part ways with their team president, their former team president, Greg Grissom.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Some movement potentially within the division. This is the latest. Yesterday, Liam Cohen, who is the OC for the Buccaneers, kind of this year's help with the Baker transformation over the last couple of years, and he was the OC this year and what their offense has done. It's been impressive what they did, especially with losing guys like Mike Evans for a long period of time and other receivers who they also lost for long periods of time for that offense to do what it did. He agreed, Clint, I think yesterday, to become the highest paid offensive coordinator in football, and now it is being reported now. Ian Rapoport, the deal is not done at the moment with the Jags, but Liam Cohen is in the building in Jacksonville speaking with Jags about their head coaching position. And after agreeing to that extension yesterday, it seems like he is potentially becoming the favorite in Jacksonville to take over that job. So that would be an interesting one. I know you know him. Then he had time at Kentucky, I believe.
Yeah, he was actually, you know, the crazy thing is
he was with the Rams first, right?
Well, no, it was vice versa, right? He was with Kentucky, and that was that's with Tennessee. Quarterback, Will Levis.
Oh, Will Levis. Oh, yeah.
That was the year that's the year that Will Levis jumped on the scene, and everybody, he transferred from Penn State, went to Kentucky. Liam Cohen was his offensive coordinator. He had a hell of a year under Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen left and went to the Rams, which I think he went back to the Rams. I think you were correct. He was the Rams first.
Yeah.
But he went back to the Rams, and then when the head coach with the Panthers, who was the offensive coordinator with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, took that job, that's when Liam Cohen jumped and got out from underneath the McVay the umbrella and went over here to coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers under a defensive-minded head coach, so he had all the control of the offense, and now you see him potentially jumping to be the head coach of the Jags.
Hey, fellas, here this is coming from Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. In a dramatic term, Liam Cohen informed the Jags on Wednesday he was staying in Tampa as the OC on a new contract. But after the firing of GM Trent Baalke, the Jags reached out to see if Cohen would reconsider. Now Cohen is in Jacksonville and appears headed to a deal.
He called an audible.
Hey.
Omaha!
Right? What did you say yesterday? Had him on the call and said, hey, man.
If the head coach doesn't want Baalke in here, I'll get rid of him. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically what he said with old boy on the call. I wonder Damn. If Liam Cohen actually signed that contract as reported yesterday with one of, if not the highest paid offensive coordinator in the league. I know it was way up there, and I wonder if he actually signed that, or was that kind of a ploy to just kind of to nudge Jacksonville and make that move.
Maybe I may be wrong on this. I think you can always leave, even if you sign, leave your job for a step up job in the league.
Yeah, right? I don't know how that works relative to contracts. I don't know if there's any buyouts.
Listen, I know it can happen. Damn it, if what's my man who's now back in New England, the OC Josh McDaniel, if he can go sign the deal and then get up out that deal to go back to New England to be the head coach of the Colts and get back out of there, I believe Liam Cohen can do it too. So, but real quick before we move on to that, if he does land that job, which it seems like people are trending towards him, he's got Trevor there. They've got Brian Robinson. They've got Brian Thomas. Excuse me. They've got some guys there. What do you think about his fit with Trevor Lawrence? Because that's what they're looking for, to try to fix Trevor. They tried it with Urban. Doug Peterson got probably the best we've seen out of Trevor a couple of years ago, but then it went back. What do you think about that connection?
Well, I think, look, you got the hottest offense in the game in terms of scheme. I mean, you got he's been in this system. He's taken it somewhere with Mark Stoops at Kentucky at a college level, which tells you he can relate to young players, and he can install a system very, very quickly. It doesn't take 3 years, right? His quarterback excelled. Kentucky excelled that year. So I think that's a feather in his cap. Again, it's the hottest system in the game under McVay. Again, he's done it for defensive-minded head coaches, so it's not like he had somebody hovering over him calling the plays, both at Kentucky as well as at Tampa Bay. So I would think that, those are two things that are really, really vital. He clearly can coach quarterbacks and get the most out of quarterbacks. That's the best Will Levis we've ever seen, was under Liam Cohen that 1 year at Kentucky, and it's been rough to watch ever since. And so when you start connecting all the dots with Liam Cohen, I have no idea what kind of guy he is, and obviously it takes a different kind of guy to run an organization, obviously, than just call plays offensively and be an offensive guru. So we'll see if he's that guy, but boy, you got to think that Jacksonville's offense will get a shot in the arm pretty quickly. Now, as a team, I don't know. I mean, is he going to be kicking the kicker at practice? And, is he going to be hanging out in the casino nights of games and all that kind of – I don't know what kind of guy he is there. But, boy, you would think that he checks several of the boxes that if you're going to hire an offensive-minded head coach today, you want him to have. Developing quarterbacks, the right system, the success at two different levels. Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
All right, we're going to try our best to try to get to that that gold turd coming up here in the last
the
couple
champion.
Of seconds. Yeah, we don't want to get away without him being able to get that off. But do you agree? We'll dive into these reasons. Do you agree with the reasons cited from inside the building that these were the top reasons why this team struggled offensively? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in. Fun show today. I do want to get to that gold one. I promise I've made a note here to myself. If you missed it earlier, Tyler did the turds list. The bronze medal winner was to the baseball writers. The silver was to the NFL officiating and their tendency to wear chief colors under their zebra stripes. And he
and
called
then all hell broke loose.
La Pat Jahomes, the flopper.
I'm proud of that.
And then I know you are. I don't know what happened. A sports radio show broke out after that.
It was awesome.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spilled over to the 4 o'clock hour. I'm sure I may get in trouble for it.
hell no.
I don't know. Who knows? But we will get to the gold. I do want to get to the gold. But before we do get to the gold, Clint, in the Jonathan Alexander, and he was gracious to come in and hang out with us for a little bit and talk through the article he wrote this morning. He talked to a bunch of people in the building, from players to coaches to front office, decision makers about, what happened with this offense? What were the issues? And the three major reasons this offense struggled that he kept getting from people, these were the issues. One, the Texans initially lacked an offensive identity, in part because the wealth of weapons and too many injuries. The second reason, so really they didn't have an identity, the injuries played a major part of it. Two, they often failed to execute small details in critical situations. And then the third one, And the biggest of them all, he reports, the offensive line was so bad at times it made it difficult for C.J. Stroud to even operate. And I think just the offense in general to even operate. Do you agree with those being the three biggest reasons?
No. I agree with those, if you want to put them in the top.
That's coming out of the building, but you don't.
Yeah, if you want to put them in the top four, yeah. I mean, it's a hill I'm going to die on.
So you don't think any of these is the number one reason?
No. I think the number one reason is you are soft as hot butter on the offensive side of the football. At critical positions. At the positions that are responsible for being for blocking and moving human beings out of the way so physical, your skill yeah. for so your quarterback can operate and your running back can run. I think there is a level of softness, a level of accepting mediocre play, a level of stroking guys that don't show up and don't help others around them be the best version of themselves. And I think that is contagious. I think it spreads throughout. I think when you don't hold those guys accountable, I think it ends up biting you in the most critical moments, which we saw against the Chiefs, some of the worst pass protection we've seen all year. Same problems, just different opponent. So I would say, in my opinion, the number one overall issue is offensively. If they're saying the Texans lacked an identity on offense, if you're talking about like culture identity, like no matter what, we're not talking about run versus pass. We're not talking about West Coast versus run and shoot, not that kind of identity. If we're just talking about, hey, we're going to show up and we're going to beat the hell out of you identity, or we're going to be soft, then I can talk.